Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
In this episode, digging into the latest on the Charlie Kirk assassination, new information from the FBI director about what they're looking into, mainly accomplices, who could the accomplice be? If there's an accomplice, might not be who you're expecting. Also, those text messages between the suspect, Tyler Robinson, and his roommate, romantic partner, a lot of people thought they were strange. And then the surveillance video that was released from years earlier of the suspect, Tyler Robinson, when he was pulled over in a fender bender. What does that video actually tell us about him? I'm digging into all of it in this edition of True Crime Never Sleeps Show. Hey guys, thanks again for checking out my channel. I've been digging in again to the latest in the Tyler Robinson case, the alleged Charlie Kirk assassin, and some of the new information that's been coming out. And a lot of it is coming from a tweet from FBI Director Kash Patel. And this is what he wrote first. Quote, as a director of the FBI, I'm committed to ensuring the investigation into Charlie Kirk's assassination is thorough and exhaustive, pursuing every lead to its conclusion. The full weight of America's law enforcement agencies are actively following the evidence that has emerged. But our efforts extend beyond initial findings. We are examining every facet of this assassination. And this is the part that gets interesting. Quote, we are meticulously investigating theories and questions, including the location from where the shot was taken, the possibility of accomplices, the text message confession and related conversations, Discord chats, the angle of the shot and bullet impact, how the weapon was transported. And I'm going to get into what that could mean in a second. He continued, quote, hand gestures observed as a potential signals near Charlie at the time of his assassination, and visitors to the alleged shooter's residence in the hours and days leading up to September 10th, 2025. And again, he said hours leading up to September 10th, 2025. Who was visiting with him? What do we know? Going to get into that in a second. He writes, quote, some details are known today while others are still being pursued to ensure every possibility is considered. Our primary focus is to complete the investigation and deliver justice, protect the integrity of the investigation, in subsequent prosecution. We cannot release every piece of information we have to the public right now. We will ensure every question is addressed at the appropriate moment. And then he continues, quote, regarding specific details such as questions about the plane that allegedly turned off its transponder after departing from an airport near the assassination site, we can share updates when answers are confirmed. After interviews with the pilot and consultation with the FAA, we determined the transponder was not turned off. Incomplete flight data in rural areas caused the apparent gap. And what he's talking about there is there was this theory, and I saw it on Twitter. There were people tracking this plane that was flying over the area where Charlie was assassinated, and it sort of disappeared from flight radar. But they're basically saying there's an explanation for that. And then Cash then says, quote, the entire FBI mourned the loss of Charlie Kirk. We will not rest until justice is served. In our investigation into the assassination, we'll continue until every question is answered. So that's the latest from Kash Patel. And again, there are some hints, I think what I would call hints in that statement of what they're really looking into. And that's what I'm going to get into in a second. Also, new authorities said the gun used in the killing of Charlie Kirk may be a decades-old untraceable rifle. They identified the gun. It's a, you know, older bolt-action rifle, a type originally manufactured in Germany for military during both world wars, and it actually predates laws that required firearms to carry serial numbers or other identifying marks. So, is it possible that Robinson chose that firearm because it's harder to trace? Excuse me. But in those strange text messages between him and the roommate, he said, quote, "I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. I don't know if it has a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I'm worried about prints. I'd leave it in a bush." But he said, "I don't know if it has a serial number." So did he? Is that the reason he chose the gun? Because he knew that it was untraceable? Also, there's newly released body camera footage that shows Tyler Robinson after a 2022 fender bender in Utah. He had sunglasses and a hat similar to what he was wearing when he was on the run after allegedly gunning down Charlie Kirk.
Who's driver? You the driver?
Yep.
Can you tell me just really quick what happened?
That's Tyler Robinson, age 19, about 3 years before he's accused of shooting and killing.
In the rightmost lane coming this way.
In this video, Scripps News obtained from police in Utah, he has just gotten into a fender bender, accidentally slamming his Audi into a Ford sedan that turned in front of him at an intersection in St. George, Utah. Neither driver received a citation.
He would have been there going left, and as I was coming through, he turned in, and I T-boned into the side.
In this video, he's cooperative and seems polite.
Just as I left the house, put oil in.
Of course.
Just topped it up.
Welcome to real life.
He tells the officer he's with his brother and that his mom is on the way to help him out.
She's gotta be a minute. She's gotta shuttle over from where she's at to her car and then drive over.
Aside from this brief accident, Tyler Robinson's history is unremarkable when it comes to run-ins with...
Mom, do you have any questions? You'll probably be taking care of this.
I will be taking care of this, and this is all new for me, but okay. We'll figure it out.
Again, this is from a fender bender. It's from years before, but it's still interesting to just see his mannerisms. So it obviously has nothing to do with the assassination, but it's still interesting nonetheless. So I started looking into what Steve Moore, the former FBI agent, thought about all this, and this tweet from Cash Patel really opened up a can of worms. There's a lot in there that he's putting out, and I wanted to go through some of the different elements he mentioned and write them down. He said they're investigating theories and questions, which was the phrase he used. The first thing listed was the location where the shot was taken. That kind of thing is critical. It seems like someone from Patel's team probably went to the case agent, the lead on the investigation, and asked, "What are you looking at?" Just list it all out. And what came back was exactly the sort of stuff the FBI would be focusing on. When he mentioned the possibility of an accomplice, that really jumped out. I've talked about this case before, even early on in the case, and I'm still struggling with the messages between Tyler and his roommate. Or more specifically, the things Tyler texted his roommate. I mean, listen to this. He said, "I don't know if the gun has a serial number. They won't trace it to me. I'm worried about prints. I'd leave it in a bush where I changed outfits." That doesn't sound like something you'd say to someone who had no idea what you were doing. It sounds like he was talking to someone who was already elbow deep in whatever this was.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult, but I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
He didn't explain what gun he was referring to. He didn't explain why he was worried about Prince. He referred to it as my grandfather's gun, which implies they'd already talked about it before. So there are two things going on here. The FBI agents who are actually working this case and the Utah State Police, they know way more than I do, obviously. But if I were looking at those texts as an FBI agent, I'd have a really hard time not seeing that person as an accomplice. There are documents that call him the roommate, but then the governor referred to him as a romantic interest. If that's true, and if that person isn't charged, I need to understand what they were thinking when they read a message like, I hid the rifle in the bushes when I changed my clothes, and I'm afraid there are fingerprints on the rifle. Like, what did he think Tyler was talking about? I'm not saying it's impossible for him to be innocent. That kind of circumstantial evidence is hard to walk away from. To me, there's a strong possibility he ends up being indicted. That said, all kinds of things can derail a prosecution. So yeah, even if something looks obvious, it doesn't always end the way you'd expect. The next big point was the text message confession. A lot of people picked up on the weirdness of those exchanges. Some even thought the messages were fake, like they just didn't feel natural. The formality, especially, was strange. These two were really in a romantic relationship and were both young. The way they were texting felt off, not how you'd expect in that. You'd expect people in that kind of relationship to talk. But when I thought more about it, and even after watching that body camera footage from a few years ago, Tyler just always talked that way. He was very matter of fact. He kind of had this straightforward style, almost like a police officer himself. So maybe the text seemed odd, but it may just be how he communicates. Patel also said they're looking into how the weapon was transported. That tells me they're asking the same logistical questions I am. How did he get it on the roof? How did no one see him? And how did that blanket get up there? This is classical FBI investigation work. It's all about A plus B equals C. And if you can't explain how something got from point A to point B, you got a problem. There's no footage of him carrying the weapon, no witness accounts, no clear access route, then you have to start considering alternatives. Did he stash it there the day before? Did someone help him? Did an accomplice throw it up to him? When a case like this has the whole world watching, you cannot afford to soft-pedal anything. Every tiny inconsistency has to be accounted for. The fact that Patel specifically listed how the weapon was transported doesn't necessarily mean they've already found something huge. It might just mean it's one of the open questions they're actively working on. He probably gets a daily briefing with updates on every angle of the investigation. He also mentioned hand gestures observed as potential signals near Charlie at the time of his assassination. I've seen the video. The main thing people are talking about is what looks like a security guard standing behind Charlie, making some kind of hand motions. It's hard to say what that actually means. Everything starts to look suspicious once a crime like this has happened. People throw out theories, and sometimes it's just noise. But you can't ignore it. You have to investigate every single thing, even if the guy later says, oh, I was just swatting a bee. You can't take that at face value. You need to know where that person was supposed to be, what their background is, what they were doing the night before. You have to wrestle every detail to the ground until you're absolutely sure. Then there was that line about visitors to the alleged shooter's residence in the hours and days leading up to September 10th. What caught my attention was that Patel said hours and days, not just days. That suggests something happened right before Tyler left. Maybe someone came over. The implication is that someone physically showed up at his place. And honestly, that alone is significant. The fact that they're investigating visitors means there were visitors. Tyler and his partner probably had people over. That's not unusual. The hard part is separating the random, normal visitors from the ones who might have had knowledge or involvement. And in these far radical corners of the internet, people can go from strangers to co-conspirators really fast. You've got people who've never met before in person, then suddenly they're having meetings in the real world when something is about to go down. So yeah, I think they're trying to figure out whether anyone like that was part of this. With the significance of this case and just, you know, the huge event that it was with Charlie Kirk being assassinated, you saw what happened with the funeral. That was Sunday. The president was there, the vice president. It was national level stuff. So I started thinking, if there was an accomplice or someone even remotely involved, wouldn't we have already seen an arrest by now? Honestly, no, not at all. That kind of thing would be the most delicate part of the investigation. If I were in the FBI, I wouldn't say a word to the press until I had an indictment and cuffs on the person. Only then would I talk like, here's how we did it. Because if someone's a potential accomplice and they find out the FBI is even thinking about them, they'll disappear. They'll go underground. They'll make it 100 times harder to find them. So unless it's a slam dunk like clear evidence, maybe even surveillance footage or a confession, I don't think we would have heard about an arrest yet. Another major detail that come out is about the weapon itself, that decades-old untraceable rifle. It apparently predates laws that required serial numbers, and when you connect that to what he said in those text messages, it paints a pretty clear picture. I think, yeah, it was totally part of the plan. He chose that rifle on purpose. He didn't want it traced. He probably thought, no one will ever be able to connect this gun back to me. No serial number, no registration. If it belonged to a relative, like a grandfather or something, then yeah, it would be even more invisible in the system. No reason for anyone to go looking in grandpa's attic. But I think it went even further than that. I don't think it was just about being untraceable. I think he was also counting on the fact that ballistics would be harder too. Some people on the internet were saying, well, if you only have the bullet, you can't trace it to a weapon. But that's not true. You can. If there are rifling marks on the bullet, you can match that to a specific barrel. So he probably wanted a gun where the kind of evidence wouldn't hold up, either because the gun was so old or because it wasn't in any existing database. Excuse me. That was probably one of his smarter choices from a criminal standpoint. Those kind of rifles, Mauser or Russian SKS, they were everywhere after the wars. Once the militaries divested the weapons, tons of them ended up in the U.S. as cheap hunting rifles. Mauser 98s have been around since the 1910s. There are tens of thousands of them out there. Not like finding a brand new Glock with a registration number. Investigation? And that is all I have for this latest update of the Charlie Kirk murder investigation. Give me your thoughts on the case in the comment section below. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching, listening. We'll see you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I used the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreestyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreestyleLibre.us.